Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
There are many different theological and churchy concepts that are hard to communicate to children, but I think that Advent is one of the most difficult ones. There are so many abstract concepts that come with Advent. As you well know, for most adults, let alone children, the concept of waiting is very difficult, of any kind of delayed gratification. So we have Advent calendars to help the children feel that what they're waiting for, Christmas, will actually come someday. And then folded into Advent, we have expectation and hope and all of these strange apocalyptic readings that come in Advent, talking about the second coming. All very ethereal, abstract ideas that it can be difficult for many of us to know what exactly are these 4 weeks all about. We know where this is headed. Our culture is pushing us to get there from even before Halloween. So how can Advent be meaningful to us? The girls, now that I have teenagers, it's helpful to still have children reflecting with me on how to teach the littler ones anything about Advent. So they've been helping me write a little children's story for Charlie. And in this, we're drawing on some of our own personal experiences that you may recognize in a moment. And I think this is one helpful way that we have found to talk with Charlie. And we're talking about a little girl who starts to become very cranky as she gets older because the pressures of her family life, and particularly an irritating little brother, are making it difficult for her to study. The noise, the chatter, she'll get in trouble from her mother for leaving her things all over her dining room table. You know, all of these things create a cranky little girl that we're calling Anne. And her mother says, well, we have the storage room down in the basement. If you'll help me clean it out, we can make a little study space for you. This storage room basically is no bigger than a closet, but has plenty of room to put a little desk and create a nice quiet little nook for a child. But it has become the room that everything just gets tossed in when we no longer know what to do with it. Old toys, old clothes, holiday decorations, whatever it might be, just go in this room and the door is closed. To the point that even though there are two windows in the room, there is actually no natural light that comes in because the boxes are piled all over them. Now, granted, it is a small room. However, that's a whole lot of stuff that has gotten shoved in the room. Particularly, this little girl, Anne, has trouble letting go of things. So when she no longer plays with her huge bag of stuffed animals, which I understand, it's hard to just give those away. So it's all down in the storage room. As she is encouraged to go down and clean it out, there are rats that live in the walls, and how mean could I be that I would send her downstairs? And what is that rustling, scurrying noise that I hear? Well, of course, it's just the air conditioning vent and the piece of little something that it's blowing against up there. Or, Mommy, there's spiders down there. I can't possibly go in there. You're afraid of spiders too. Why would you make me go in and clean out the storage room? Long story short, one step at a time, we get this room cleaned out. You know, first have to go downstairs. Let's just get everything out of the room. Let's just pull it out and so we can see what we're doing. That alone is painful. Second step, let's sort it. Mommy's things, clothes, and toys. Third step, let's sort what we need, what we want to keep. What are the three most special stuffed animals that you would like to keep? And the rest we can take to the animal shelter, or the ones that are in good shape, we can share with other children who don't have as many toys as we do. But part of the fascinating thing about preparing this room for its new use is having to face so many different qualities of ourselves that become encapsulated in that little microcosm. Why do we buy so much stuff? You know, finding the hundreds of little plastic figurines that every dollar of birthday money and allowance money for a year went to collect every last one becomes a source of some embarrassment for one of the children. Or seeing, you know, the number of clothes that they outgrow in any given year. Granted, a lot of them were hand-me-downs to us, but still a ridiculous amount of stuff. So not only is this process of cleaning out hard work and time-consuming, but it also brings us face-to-face with our self-centeredness, our greed, our clinginess. I mean, there are painful human components of this cleaning out process that we together need to face. But of course, ultimately, this room is cleared. The natural light can actually come into the room. The floor can be swept and cleaned. A little desk can be put in there. And finally, after all this preparation, there is something really beautiful and simple and good that comes from all this time. Now, this has been helpful to Charlie and to all of us, and it's helping me attack the basement in the rectory with a new resolve, to think about Advent preparation in that way, as sort of the multiple layers of small things in our lives that we don't necessarily have to consider on a daily basis can become emblematic of broader issues that need some attention that we might choose to address to create space for new light and life and hope in our world. But what I realized in working with the children about this story and thinking about some of the issues that you all are facing in the congregation or that I'm facing in my own life is that preparation, when you know that there is a defined end, and it's good, is of a very different quality than when you are presented with the fact that you have to prepare for the unknown. This, I think, is one of the most painful and difficult issues to struggle with as adults during the Advent season. Whether it is some new physical issue that we deal with as our bodies age and we don't know what the outcome of that will be, whether it's the death of a loved one and we don't know what life without them will be like, or retirement, or a move, or any number of the very challenging conditions that each and every one of us face in our lives, preparing for them creates a special and unique opportunity to trust in God in new ways. Whenever I say phrases like that, I fully expect and wish that at least one of you would throw out some rotten fruit and hit me, because trusting in God is one of the most impossibly difficult things to do, especially when you're faced with the unknown. It is so hard to cling to those tiny little shreds of hope and light when you want to throw rotten fruit at God and say, what in the world is this all about? There are a couple of clues in today's readings, though, that I think can help all of us if you are facing preparation for something unknown and something hard in your own life that can ground us and, as they say in 12-step circles, take one step at this moment, in this hour, in this day, toward trusting in God. The gospel lesson that we read from Luke today follows this passage you may remember from last week. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. I love remembering that passage in the context of Advent, because as we all know, all of that's impossible, right? The crooked ways, I mean, imagine trying to make 6A straight. The valleys raised up, the mountains brought low. I mean, all of that under human power is impossible. Advent hope on our own, Advent preparation for the unknown on our own, is impossible. I was remembering, I think it's W.H. Auden, I need to look this up, who has that lovely little turn of phrase, "I shall love my crooked neighbor with all of my crooked heart." That, I think, is much more human. Making the crooked straight is impossible on our own. So simply remembering that, when we face the unknown and we feel seized with fear or worry or distress or anger, whatever it is, knowing how hard it is for us as human beings to deal with those things, I think, is the first step of learning to trust in God and really surrendering to God's care. And then for me, one thing that has been so helpful is in the letter to the Philippians today. Again, this is another one where you sort of feel like you wish you had some rotten fruit. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Again, do not worry about anything is impossible. That is so hard for us as human beings, to not worry about the unknown and what might be coming. But we can hold it off a little bit. We can make room for other things in our lives when we turn to God with thanksgiving. No matter what the unknown is that each of us faces, there is something in every second that we can give thanks for. Simply cultivating that practice when the worry, the fear, the anxiety creep in of giving thanks can cultivate a sense of Advent hope. And then the second thing is let your requests be known to God. As Episcopalians, we can be very polite and reserved, you may have noticed. And I think sometimes that extends into our prayer life. When we give thanks to God, we can say thank you for another glorious 60-degree December day that I can be outside. And, you know, shake God by the lapels and say, I need some guidance about what is the right way to help my loved one through this difficult time. How can I find some peace facing this difficult situation? Be more demanding of God. I hope this Advent, as you consider ways that God might be calling you to prepare, perhaps to prepare things that are more joyful, where you can see the steps, and though they might be difficult, you know that there's joy and new life at the end of it. But even more importantly, if you're being called to prepare for the unknown in some way, I hope that you will remember how impossible that is for us as human beings to do on our own. And that when we turn to God with prayers of thanksgiving on our hearts and with a willingness to make bold demands, these are the places where God can send the Spirit into our lives and strengthen us for this journey. So may each and every one of us have the courage to prepare this Advent, no matter what it might be for. Amen.
Amen.